A lot of exciting things have been going on in Acts here. There's the Holy Spirit has come and 3,000 plus people got saved at then, and then daily people were being added to the church here. And now we're going to read an account, narrowing it down to from the group and what they were doing to just two people right here. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse number 1. It says, "Now Peter and John were going up together to the temple complex at the hour of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. And a man who was lame from his mother's womb was carried there and placed every day at the temple gate called Beautiful, so he could beg from those entering the temple complex. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple complex, he asked for help," or he asked for alms. He was begging. "Peter, along with John, looked at him intently and said, 'Look at us.' So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, 'I have neither silver nor gold. But what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk.' Then, taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up, stood, and started to walk. And he entered the temple complex with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Amen. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized he was the one who used to sit and beg at the beautiful gate of the temple complex. So they were filled with awe and astonishment at what had happened to him." Well, we're going to talk about opportunities for action here. Do you ever remember such an opportunity that you might have had sometime along, opportunity to present your faith to someone? Do we seize these opportunities that come along our way? You see, we've got to be ready. We've got to be open. We've got to be prepared, because these opportunities, sometimes they're just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that pass our way, and we've got to be ready to seize them. You see, God's not looking for some super saint. What he is looking for is an imperfect men and women who may not have the physical resources, who may not be rich in earthly terms, but yet they are ready, and they're ready and willing to allow his spirit and his power to work through them to reach a lost and dying world out there. These Christians we read about here, they were willing to take their faith seriously. They were willing to take action. And they were willing to place it all right out there. You talk about faith on what they just did, what they just read about here. Man, I'm telling you, that's faith, people. Two disciples now, going to church to pray. Now, you know, we can pray anytime, all right? I think we'll all agree with that. You can pray anywhere. You know, there's no limit on where you can pray. All right, I know we've got rules and regulations that say you can't do this here and you can't do that there, you know. But I tell you what, they don't know what's going on in your heart and mind if you just want to. Did you know it? You can talk to God without saying a word audibly, you know. It's good that we can pray to him out loud and kneel and pray. But there's places where you've been and I've been that sometimes, you know, we can still talk to God. And so here they were. But this was the regular time for prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, as it said. What a contrast. As they entered the eastern gate, traveling down the four rows of large white marble columns that made up Solomon's colonnade. Oh, it was a beautiful place. It said that this temple had 10 gates, 9 being overlaid with gold and silver, and the 10th being made of solid now, Corinthian bronze, that it weighed so much that it took 20 men just to open and close this gate. As they entered the temple at this gate called Beautiful, there in this majestic setting with the marble columns and the polished bronze and all of that, was sitting a poor, shabby beggar rattling a cup. How many others you reckon had passed by there? Not only that day, but the days previous and the years previous had passed by, Some may be on the other side. Some may be maybe sidestepping him. Some may be in disgust. Said, oh, I wish they would move this crowd out of here. They shouldn't be here. Maybe some even threw a few coins in his cup. Maybe give him a few alms here and there. Some out of honest to goodness concern. Others maybe just to ease their own conscience. But you know, God's grace is not limited by the setting, the situation, or the physical need of the person. God can work in some of the most trying circumstances and some of the most strange circumstances. If we'll allow him to use us, like Peter and John allowed him to use them, we can see some of the same things go on today. I don't believe God's slack concerning his miraculous power. We can have some of the same miraculous things happen today if we're just willing. What about in the shadow of our sanctuaries all around the country today? People went to worship. People went to church. Some of them maybe even had opportunities to serve him. Some of them no doubt passed people just as bad a shape as this fellow was. What do we do? What are we going to do? How are we going to handle it? How are we going to do? How are we going to take advantage of the opportunities that God's put before us here? You see, we can't just simply discuss theology. We can't just simply sit down and talk about the evils of this world. We've got to be actively involved in loving a lost world, in being concerned for a lost world. Yes, we need to be concerned physically. We need to reach out physically. But our main focus has always been to reach out spiritually and to make sure that they have an opportunity to receive Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I want you to look at how this unfolds right here. First of all, look at the man, the cripple, all right, if you would. Here he said, at this ornate gate in the temple, he says he'd been a cripple, been lame over 40 years, never walked. Really, in this society that he lived in, he would have been considered almost a reject. All he could do that day and any day was beg. He couldn't work. His plight was almost hopeless. And so he sat there hoping to provoke pity and penance from people. A couple things about this cripple we see. First of all, we see his defective life. Life had been relegated to one of suffering. There had never been a time when he was not a burden to someone physically. But what about his spirituality? I wonder, sitting there at the temple, how many people had really looked at him and been concerned about his spirituality? I wonder about how many people that had put money in his cup but never thought about his eternal salvation. So close to the entrance he was to the temple, he could see it. He could hear what was going on. And yet, he was still outside. He was a person with a defect, and a defective person wasn't even allowed to enter the temple at that particular time. But the physical defect that we talk about and that we see and that we read about, I'll tell you what, that wasn't as devastating as him. That was not his main ailment. His main ailment was that I believe he was lost and he needed Jesus, and they were going to give him that very thing right there. So he had a defect. How many people are so close? So close to Christ, so close to salvation, and yet they're not there. You see, close, it's not going to count. When things are added up, we're not going to be able to say, well, I almost accepted you, Lord. Oh, I was really close. I was close to coming to church one time. Defective life, dependent life. He depended on others. He depended on others to get him to this place of beauty and bounty. He needed help. In this society that he lived in, a person in his condition who was unable to walk was thereby relegated, unable to work, and so by he was, that was his life, a life of begging. Maybe we might not be dependent to the extent that this man was, but you know, look at some of the people today and what they're depending on. Look at people today that they're depending on some kind of belief system that's flawed, Some people today that's believing on a theory. People today that's depending on a mystery. People today that go by and rub a stone statue. People that will file by a statue of St. Peter and kiss. And so many people have come by there that they've literally kissed the marble toe off of St. Peter, hoping for some kind of blessing and hoping that something would happen by doing this. This man was dependent on other people helping him get there. And we say, well, we're not that way anymore. But I'll tell you what, how many people are really depending on something else to get them into heaven besides salvation of Jesus Christ? Well, I'll tell you, our world is full of all manner of different things, and they're dependent on getting them back. What are you depending on? It's a good question. Well, we see this man's defective life. We see his dependent life. But also, he had a desire. He was desiring things. He might have been desiring things he didn't know he desired, but the man, alms. His thoughts of life never rose any higher than mere material existence, an outstretched palm, a pitiful look, a wanting plea. How many live in the same plight today, in the shadow of our very steeples, and they're desiring something, and many of them, they don't know what they're desiring, but yet they've got that desire there. Many of them, they're fine physically. They don't have the defect this man got. They're walking, they're healthy, they got good jobs, or maybe they don't, I don't know. But they've still that desire there. There's something there, there's a hole in their heart, and they don't know what it is. Folks, it's up to us to point them to say, Jesus, it's up to us to say, here, this is what you need. This is what it is. And we're going to see that right now. Spiritually, they're begging. Don't miss the opportunity. Folks, we got people out there, they're just like this beggar. They're begging us spiritually for somebody to show them the way, somebody to tell them. Now we look at the Christians. Okay, here's this man sitting here. Along came Peter and John, all right? They're coming to the temple to pray. Yeah, they don't have a lot of money. They said they didn't have a lot of money. In the world's eyes, they're pretty well broke. In the world's eyes, they're pretty poor, all right? But you know, in God's eyes, they're rich beyond belief. Man, things happening in their life, and they had experienced things in the last couple days that had them on top of the world, son. Let me tell you, you think about it. They had seen Jesus ascend into heaven, heard his challenge to go out and take the world. They had waited those days, and the Holy Spirit had come down and filled them. They walked out and started preaching. 3,000 people got saved at one time, and more people were coming every day, and the place was filling up all around them. You're talking about a good time. So they're rich beyond belief. They had just been involved in an evangelistic effort where thousands came into the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you like to have been involved in that? But now look what God does. He almost moves them from that to one man, to one person. Folks, never, never be shocked or dismayed at the lengths God will go to reach one person. One person. He'll move mountains. He'll open all mountains. He took Philip out of a great revival and sent him down to the desert to talk to what? One person. I know we like numbers and we talk about numbers here, but I think it's a good testimony just to see what God would do and just to see the lengths that He'll go to reach one person. He might orchestrate a whole week of meetings just to reach one person. Now others might have an opportunity, but it was your time. Don't get caught up so much sometimes, and don't lose sight of the one-on-one opportunities that we're going to have out there. That you're going to have out there. You might have one tomorrow or the next day or the next day. You know. You might have an opportunity to share your faith and to tell somebody and to try to show them. You know, somebody might come up to you and it might just be a word or sentence or two, and you've got an opportunity to lead them to the Lord. Can you do it? Can you do it with the boldness that Peter and John had here? Look at look at some of the things that Peter and John the Christians did. First of all, their concern. Everybody else was filing in, filing by, going, walking. But what did they do? They stopped. Now here they are. They stopped. It said they fastened their eyes on him. We're not talking about a glance here. Luke put the language such so that we know that they really looked at him. They saw this man. You know how it is when you can walk by and you can just glance at somebody, you can look at something other, and you can go on your way. But you know it's different when you can look at somebody, zero in on them, you focus on this, just them, you make eye contact with him. They noticed him, not just in passing, but they really saw him. They not only saw the situation that he was in, but they saw the person in the situation. Too many times what it is, we'll see the situation that the person happens to be in, and we miss the person. Folks, listen, we as Christians, we need to look beyond the situation. We need to look beyond the external, and we need to be able to see that there's an internal there, and it doesn't matter what they look like, how bad off they are, or what kind of crime they committed, they're still a soul that Jesus died on Calvary for. Amen. And so they stopped, they looked, and they noticed him, fastened their eyes on him. Do we do that? All of a sudden, just like that, there they were, zeroed in on him. Now, they were concerned about him, but also look at their contact. Now, Peter and John, they wasn't no dummies, all right? They knew what this man wanted, and they knew that they didn't have it, all right? They knew that this man wanted money, and they knew that they didn't have none, all right? Wasn't nobody ignorant of the situation? They saw the situation. The man couldn't walk. He was begging. He was asking for alms. Peter and John, they knew that their pockets were just as empty as, well, I got a dollar. I got a change right here. They might not even have that, you know. They knew that they didn't have that right there. But they knew what they did have. Because they had the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had His Holy Spirit within, living within them and residing within them. And they dared to make real contact. Not only did they just dare to make real contact, they even initiated the contact. Folks, don't wait for a lost person to pin you in a corner before you share Jesus with them, all right? It's all right for you to initiate the contact. And here they did. Oh, they come right out. They made it personal, and they made it personal. They stepped up, they moved forward, and they come right out there before him. You know, well, what a scene. Here this cripple is, and he's asking for alms, you know. And they stopped and they looked at him. Well, you know, when somebody stops and looks at you that way, you're going to what? You're going to look back, and you're going to notice them. And then they are, and he's asking for money. I tell you what, he asked for money, but he needed a miracle. He asked for a donation, and he needed deliverance. I'll tell you what, he sought resources, but he needed a redeemer. And so they looked at him, and they said, hey, look at us. Look at us. The words were to redirect his thoughts from the rags and the religion that he was thinking about to the redeemer. Look at us. Church, is our life such, and do we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us such that we would dare go to the world and say, look at us, we've got what you need? That's not bragging. That's not, I'm not talking about being arrogant. I'm talking about being bold. I'm talking about you living a life that's a life that's close enough to Jesus, living a life that's close enough to the Word of God so that we can go out to a lost and dying world that's in need of a Redeemer and say, hey, look at me, look at us. As a church body, we ought to be saying out there, look here, look inside these four walls. Here's the answer for your emptiness. Here's the answer for your hopelessness. Here's the answer for your despair. And it's not in us, it's in Jesus Christ. And they dared say, look at us. Oh, what a statement that is. Is our life such that we would dare say to the world, Look at us. We've got what you need. Well, they showed their concern. They made contact with him, and now they're going to give him a command here. Can't you help but realize what the fellow's thinking? He said, oh, boy, this is going to be good. This is going to be big, all right? You know, they said, look at us, you know. Maybe he said, oh, yeah, they want me to see him. I mean, they're going to drop in. I mean, they're going to load my cup up, you know. Well, you know, that's what you would think, wasn't it? Come on. The man's here. He's begging for alms, all right? And they say, you know, hey, they look at him. They make eye contact. And then they say, you look at us. And so he's thinking, oh, this is going to be good. Peter looks at him and says, we don't have any silver or gold. Just like, all air goes out of him. I was trying to think about what's these weirdos want then? They said, what? We don't have silver or gold, but what we've got, we'll give to you. People, we don't have the we need to do what we can do. I believe the Bible tells us to have compassion. I believe it commands us to help people as much as we can. But let me tell you what. We do not have the resources to feed the world starving. We do not have the resources to alleviate poverty. We don't have the resources to educate all the unlearned in the world. But what we do have is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life, and that's our main focus. The other stuff we need to do to reach them and to reach people, but don't lose the main focus, and that's to point these people to Jesus Christ, because you can go to heaven poor, but you can't go without Jesus Christ. All right. You can go uneducated, but you can't go without Jesus. You can go a cripple, but you can't go without Jesus Christ. And so that's the main focus that we need to look at here. To look at this cripple in the eyes and say, and then they looked at him and said, what we do have? And said, took him by the arm, said, get up and walk. I mean, okay now. Bam! Strength come to him. Has the church come to the point? The Pope and a bishop, I believe, named Scotus, were walking together, looking at all the things there in Vatican City, all the wealth that's there with the church at that time. And he looked over to Pope and said, well, we can't say silver and gold have we none anymore, can we? And the Pope looked at him very solemnly and said, yes, and neither can we say get up and walk, neither. Realizing the church had lost its power to reach a lost and dying world. Some places and some accounts in the Bible you'd like to have been there, and some of them I think I'd like to just avoid it. I wouldn't know which crowd. You don't know which crowd you'd have been with. You know, you might have been with the wrong crowd, you know. But right here, wouldn't that be something? To reach out, said they took him by the, said, get up and walk. Get up and walk. Bam! And like that, it happened. Folks, that's boldness. That's power. That's God-sent power. And he got up and walked. Finally, did you see what happened then? So this fella, I mean, he was up. I mean, this fella had never walked. He'd never walked. You know, even when your legs work good, you've got to learn to walk, all right? Sometimes, folks, when you get out of bed in the morning, it takes a few minutes just to get everything working right, you know? And it's just been 6 or 7 hours since you walked. This fella never walked. And he got up and walked. He didn't just walk. It said he was leaping. He was walking and leaping and doing what else now? He's praising God. I mean, he's celebrating. There was a celebration. They exercised power in the name of the Lord Jesus. Did you notice they said, don't get, you know. Oh, they didn't say, we're going to give you this in our power. We're going to give you this in our. That taking his right hand and raised him up. Oh, so he jumped up. And I'll tell you what, they reached down in the name of Jesus. And bam, there he was. And this fella began to celebrate. the celebration because of the power. The man began to leap and jump. He went to the temple. Now he was not just sitting at the gate, but he was entering through the gate. I tell you what, we need to realize that there's power in the name, so much so that other gates will not prevail against us neither, if we'll just realize we've got the power and they can't stop us. Let's take the world, folks. So this fellow, he was no doubt making a commotion. It'd be sort of like entering into one of them. You've seen those churches, they're so cold you could skate down the pews, you know, and you go in and they're real quiet, like, you know, everybody's real. You know, and so if somebody would say amen, it'd be 200 sets of eyes on him right then, you know. What's the matter with him? What's going on? Maybe it was like that day, and this fellow, he come jumping in. I mean, he was jumping high. He was high stepping, praising God. Folks, it's all right to celebrate. Man, we got something to celebrate. You've got eternal life. You ought to celebrate. We celebrate all these other stuff. We get, you know. You don't have to be in church to celebrate and praise God. You can do it out, you know. We celebrate other things. You can have a celebration by yourself sometimes, you know. We celebrate a ball game or something like that, you know. Man, last night I was on the radio. They wasn't, you know, well, when they scored that touchdown with 10 seconds left to go, they wasn't nobody but me and the deer. I was in the field. That boy, we celebrated, you know. I said, yeah, it's on now, you know. Good. Well, God's done something more miraculous than anything we can even imagine for us. Let's celebrate it. Our churches ought not be cold, dead, lifeless places. They ought to be places of celebration. They ought to be places of learning. They ought to be places of praise. They ought to be places of worship. They ought to be places of jubilation. They ought to be places where you can bring your sorrows. But on the other hand, we can celebrate the joys of what's going on. And we got to go on. We'll be here tonight. The place. He met Jesus and he celebrated. The people, it says, were astonished. I'll tell you what, this got their attention, didn't it? He said, hey, can't you imagine sitting there? You're sitting in church, and this old boy comes jumping and hollering in, you know. And then, hey, isn't that old boy you sit out there and beg all the time? Hey, hadn't he been saying, what happened? That's what he said. He said they were astonished at what had happened to him. What happened? What happened to him? I'll tell you what happened to him. Jesus happened to him, all right? You get a good toast to Jesus and a good dose of eternal life, you'll do some celebrating yourself, all right? They were astonished. It got their attention. These fellas took advantage of the situation. They shared Jesus. They shared with boldness, and they were willing to take a risk. Folks, if we want to gain the world's attention and astonish them, just as they did here, then we've got to seize upon every opportunity to make him known. Our main focus, as I've already said, is still presenting the gospel to a lost and dying world. Let me tell you this. Today, you're either lame or you're leaping. Which will it be? You're either pulling up lame or you're leaping for Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're like this man, the physical problems you might have or might not have is not your problem, but your spirituality. Do you know for a fact that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? That one day, somewhere, there's a time in your life, there's a spiritual birthday in your life. Whatever it is, whatever the need, won't you just come? Maybe you just want to come and praise him. Our altar's open for you.